Thank you, Tina. This little one here in the bulletin is a celebration dinner that if you want to go, that Pat Zugran Evidence and Answers puts on. And if you'd like to go to that, that's on the 29th, I believe. And got some four good-looking guys going to provide some music over there. So I don't know how well they play music, but at least they're good-looking. Are they good? Okay, they're good. Take it from Rabson over there. All right. You know, I was a straight B student in high school. That's the best I could do. I always tried my best, and the best I could do was B average, maybe B plus average or something like that. I got to make honor roll maybe once or twice in my high school years. So you know I'm a very average guy. In fact, one of the jokes for me is that everything I do is average. The average height of people in the world is 5'8". I'm 5'8". The average size shoe is, think about size 8, 8.5. I'm size 8, 8.5. My feet might be a little wide. Maybe that is a little different. But I'm so average that if I can do something, that's like a model for anybody else who wants to do stuff. And when I went to college, many of you know this, that I was going through college, was rather aimless in college, began my grades started going down, and I was on academic probation. And then I didn't bring my grades up, so I was on academic suspension, which means I was about to be kicked out of school. And then I came, right at that time, around that time, I came to Christ. And a lot of things changed in my life. Aside from coming to Christ, one of the things that changed was, I think my mom gave me a book called How to Study. Did you give me that book? Called the How to Study Guide. She might not remember that. But anyway, this book showed up, How to Study Guide. In this place, I was desperate. Okay, I didn't want to flunk out of college, right? And so I thought, I'm going to try give this book a shot and see what it says. One of the things that happened was it taught me how to listen. And I realized that just attending class, showing up, and just being there like any other average person wasn't enough to get me by. So my mom gave me these really wise words. She says, you're not like the real smart people, Stan. So you have to try harder to at least keep up with them. Good words, yeah? Thanks, Mom. But I've always remembered that because it's always reminded me that I have to probably try harder than most. And I used to, the worst part about it is I used to hang around with all the smart kids in school. And I would think, why am I hanging around with these guys? Because I just didn't fit in. And they were just the guys who excelled and everything. And I thought, boy, you know, I guess it was better than hanging out with the people who are having a hard time. But nonetheless, I was having a hard time, and that was the main thing. So in this How to Study Guide, it taught me, among other things, how to listen. And one of the things it talked about was how to be an active listener. How many of you have heard that word? You've heard that word, right? How to be an active listener. You know what it is to be a passive listener, right? You just kind of show up, and you just kind of, okay, tell me about it. And you kind of listen to what you want to listen to. And you end up with something called selective listening. You hear what's interesting to you, but you kind of miss the rest. The problem with in class is that you need to not just catch things that interest you. You need to catch the whole thing, right? And so to do that, this book taught me how to do something called active listening. And a lot of it had to do is with my attitude as I went to class. An attitude of expectancy, having a posture of readiness, having taking personal responsibility for learning the things that I'm going to learn, taking notes on everything, especially the things I didn't understand. If I didn't understand it, I especially wanted to take notes rather than skip it over. So there's the outer posture, how you sit made a difference. Do I sit up straight, or am I slouching, you know, half going to sleep? And so asking mental questions about what's going on is as well. So what does that mean? Or, yeah, I know what that means, and piecing together things. And one other thing that was really important was that after you leave your class, the most important time to review your notes is immediately, the 5 minutes right after you leave your class. Those 5 minutes after you leave your class are the most important time to review your notes. Because what it does is it causes it to sink in, and it causes it to be locked into your brain better than if you reviewed it even several hours later in the night, or the next day, certainly the next week. If you reviewed it right after class, you could lock those things into your mind. And I realized, after that, I started getting really good grades. I got almost straight A's after that. And so I passed college, praise the Lord. God was gracious to me. And I realized that there's a difference in how we can listen. And there's a difference between just listening and listening carefully. Sadly, though, some have a posture of really contempt when they're listening to something. Oh, like, I know this, or I'm just that subject's just not interesting to me. Or maybe you have a personal grudge against that person, or personal animosity going on. And so because of that, you don't want to listen to what that person has to say, as valuable as it might be. Or maybe I heard this from somebody. I don't like that person's voice. That person's voice is so high and shrill and so irritating. And so this person never received what the person was, what that pastor was saying. And so there are a lot of different things that we can go into in as we're listening. There are good ways of listening, and there are poor ways of listening. Jesus, after doing what we talked about last week, which we covered was the parable of the sower, he went over these four types of soils that the sower scattered seed. Same sower, same seed that was scattered everywhere, different kinds of soil has brought different results. And so Jesus, immediately following that, says what we're going to talk about today in our scripture. And so let me go ahead and read that for you. So he, immediately following this, he talks about these people who receive the word, and they retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Then he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. What he has will be taken from him. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone said to him, your mother and brothers are standing outside, waiting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Our Father, thank you for these words of Jesus to instruct our hearts. Please penetrate our hearts. Allow our lives to be changed from the inside out, Lord. Allow us as well to participate with the things that you're teaching us so that we can be those who are mature. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the things that caught my eye here was that if you have something, then you will have more to give. And God's actually going to give you more to give. But if you don't have it, in other words, what you missed out on because you didn't listen to carefully, even the things you think you have, you're not going to have. And boy, I know what that's like, being somebody who did not know how to listen. I remember thinking, I heard something about that, but I didn't really have it. And so here's what, after this, the parable of the sower, he finishes the parable of the sower and he says, no one lights a lamp in a room and then puts it under a bushel or a jar. So, is that too bright? Kind of bright? Yeah. Okay, I'll make it. How's that? Is that okay? I just don't want it to be too bright for you. So this is a lamp. And I kind of can cheat because all I have to do is lift up the cover and then thing goes on. And here's a light. Here's what we would do with a lamp, right? We would put it on top of a stand. And we would make it so that the light can be distributed around. If you've ever gone camping, you want the lamp to be high up, right? You hang it on the top of the tent or something. But you don't want it to be down as much as possible, and you certainly don't want it to be under a jar or a bushel. Because that defeats the purpose. So Jesus now just gave this sermon about this parable about the sower who's sowing seeds. Now you have this word of God in your life. Now, what do you do with it? He's saying, I want you to share it. Don't do this with it. Do this with it. Keep that light, keep that box, that jar off of the lamp so that people can see it. So the question that we have here is, how should we listen to God's word? And the first answer that we have there, we listen to God's word expecting to shine it. So if you have your notes page, can you write that in? Number one, that first line there, expecting to shine it. Luke 8:16-17 says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought into the open. So what you have, what you know about God, has an opportunity now to shine forth. If you have it, if you have it. But see, you have to be able to have it, right? And so the goal of the kingdom, the goal of the words of God that Jesus shares, the goal of the word of God that's written through the scripture is to be able to share it with other people. John Martin says, no one is given the secrets of the kingdom of God in order to keep them secret. So here we have the secrets of the kingdom of God. A lot of times when you have, you know, when you're a kid, right, you have this secret, right? And then somebody said, don't share it, right? But in this case, when you have the secrets of the kingdom of God, you can share it. In fact, you want to share it. There's a time to share and there's a time to not share. When you have the secrets of the kingdom of God, share it. And that's what Jesus is saying. I have given you the secrets. Now go share it. So if I told you that, if I gave you an assignment that after this sermon, what you need to do is to go out and share this whole sermon with somebody else, I can pretty much guarantee you, you would listen better, right? How you listen would change. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to share this. And so because he wants us to share it, we need to have that posture. Part of that posture of listening carefully, being careful how we listen, is being ready to share it, being ready to shine that light to people in our world, in our community. So that is the first thing we want to do in order to listen to God's word. We want to listen to God's word expecting to shine it. Expecting to shine it. Secondly, we want to listen to God's word expecting to receive it. Receive it. Of course, if we're going to shine something, then we have to receive it, right? We want to make sure that we have it in us. Luke 8:18. Let's pick up from there. It says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. So you can't shine what you haven't received. And you can't practice what you haven't received. So how do we listen to the word of God? In our discipleship programs here at West Oahu, we talk about Let's go through our hand illustration. You folks remember our hand illustration? What is the pinky? Here, here, here. That's right. And then what is the ring finger? Read. You guys got it. What's the middle finger? Study. Pointer? Memorize. And the thumb is? Meditate. Oh, boy. Somebody was trained well here. So you hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. These are the ways we get the Word of God into our lives and the ways we can get a good grip on the Word of God. Today I want to just talk about the aspect of receiving. And meditating on the Word of God. The word meditate, we want to define that as being able to consider carefully. Let me put this away. Consider carefully the things that you're thinking about. So remember I told you about after you come out of a class, the first thing you want to do is to be able to review your notes. So the first thing you're doing, right, in class, all you're doing is just kind of receiving. You don't really have a lot of time to really think much about it. But then take some time to think about it. And these are some of my journals here that I found. Some of you know that the high school class had to be cleaned out. And so I had to take out some of my journals that were stored there. And here are some of them, my quiet time journals. And I wanted to share with you a quiet time journal, a couple of quiet time journals, just some real short ones. And I want to give you this outline of SOAP. S stands for scripture, O stands for observation, A stands for application, and P is just a prayer that you do. After you're done with this time, just pray. And I'd like to just share with you this one here. This happened in October 29th in 1982, 35 years ago. I was a year and a half old in the Lord at the time, and I was taught to do this thing called a quiet time. This is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. And I put a title here, Speak for the Benefit of Others. And this is I write the scripture. And the principle here is Paul and the apostles' spirit was out of speaking what they knew to be true. He realized that their speaking would result in many lives being saved and that those who listened were the ones who benefited and that they would be thankful to God's glory. Is an observation. The world is in great need of those who speak the gospel so that others may benefit eternally from it. Here's my application. Pray and ask God to give me a chance to speak the gospel and then be aware of the opportunities he gives me. Right under that. And that's it, by the way. That was it for that day's quiet time. I could read the whole thing to you in 1 minute. Quiet time can be quite short. In fact, we get people started in quiet time with this thing called 7 minutes with God. And eventually it can get kind of long, right? But that very day, I actually have an answer to that. That very day, God provided an answer, an opportunity for me to speak the gospel to somebody. I'm looking at that. I forgot all about this until I'm looking now in my journal. And I thought, wow, God, that's amazing. It's amazing. Let me read another one here. This is a few days later, 2 Corinthians 5, 13 through 15, living for Christ. We are convinced of Christ dying for us and that whoever lives must live for Christ and not for themselves. And this is the observation. I fall short daily on living for Christ. There are many times when I cut short or compromise my actions or just plain forget to live as Christ. I need to be more conscious and aware of walking as Christ walked. And here's my application. In order to be constantly conscious of being dead to myself and alive in Christ, I will speak more softly and deliberately, pausing before I respond. This way I can keep all my actions in check. So I've shared many times that I've had to relearn how to speak. This is an example of what I had to go through to change how I speak. Some of you think that maybe the way I speak is the way I always spoke. Not so. I had to relearn how to speak, how to approach and how to, even my manner and how I spoke things. So let me go over one more. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. Share naturally And this is a paraphrase of the scripture. We have told you all about ourselves from the deep parts of our hearts. Now you ought to share with us also. Here's the observation. Many in our fellowship cannot share from their hearts deep within. I'm not talking about you now. This is 35 years ago, okay? And here's my application. I will identify those who I see as not sharing their deep conscious, their deep concerns and thoughts, and will rebuke them. No, I'm okay. And will... Just seeing if you're awake. And will encourage them to do so. I will write to and have a name in here, this particular person. I'm going to start with this person. This person was actually a really good friend. I was in Bible study with this person, but this person never shared anything really personal or deep. And so I just felt the Lord wanted me to share with this person, to encourage that person. And there's another person as well. So that's an example of my quiet time 35 years ago. You can see that I could read that one to you in 30 seconds. I say this, those of you who have your quiet times regularly, or if you have experienced quiet time, you do not need me to tell you this. You already know the value of the quiet time. I say this for the benefit of those who do not have a quiet time, or do not know what it's about, or are a little bit afraid of having a quiet time. We actually have small groups that have done journaling in the past and continue. We have one right now, in fact, someplace somewhere, that do journaling. And this is what it's like, right here. Really simple. In our Sunday school class, we're doing some of that right now. Someone once told me, one of the leaders in our ministry, way back when in college, said, "A quiet time is where the rubber meets the road. This is where life change occurs. If you're angry at somebody, you have bitterness in your heart, this is how to address it. It's not trying to yell at yourself, stop being bitter, or anything like that. If you have problem with your speech, how you speak, and you can identify, you know what's wrong, have a quiet time. If there's any particular mannerism about yourself that you want to address, have a quiet time. God takes you through all these things. You need to encourage people. You need to endure unjust treatment. Have a quiet time. This is how we receive God's word. I mean, there are many ways to receive God's word, but this is such a powerful way to meditate or chew on God's word. And so we can listen expectantly by receiving it. Be careful how we receive God's word. That's that number two. By the way, this idea of if you're faithful in what God has given you, he's going to give you more. This is a spiritual principle. We find this actually in many places in the Bible. We talked about it early in one of our earlier messages. Give and it will be given to you, Jesus said, right? A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. The parable of the talents is about God giving you something, and you can be productive with it, or you can just hide it away. You can hide it away, or you can be productive with it. Let it shine. This is a spiritual principle, and we find it all over the Bible, actually. So it's not unique to this particular one, but we want to keep this in mind, that what we're faithful with, we allow to go into our hearts, God will give us more of it as we go along. So finally, how should we listen to God's word? Listen to God's word expecting to, number three, it's on the flip side of your page. Number three, practice it. Practice it. Luke 8, 19 through 21. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get to him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So he's saying something here about this situation. He actually uses the situation of his biological mother and brother in order to transfer over to a spiritual principle. that there may be biological connections that make us necessarily relatives, but there are spiritual connections that make us spiritual relatives. And the spiritual relatives is what Jesus wants to emphasize. He never puts down his mother or brothers. Let's make sure we know that. But he's using this to bridge over to something even more important, even more lasting. That is the spiritual relationship. Another word for practicing God's word is obedience. What was that?
Obedience.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, and somebody said something else too. Paul, what did you say? Listen. Okay, very good. Listen and obey. Okay, good. I'll take that. The Apostle Paul, maybe you'll be an apostle one day too, and you'll be Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, when he came to Christ, he said, he had two questions. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" That's the first question. And the second question is, "What shall I do, Lord?" Who are you, Lord? Number one, what shall I do? How do I respond to who you are? So that was the Apostle Paul. James, the man who wrote the book of James, was Jesus' half-brother. And you can tell he learned Jesus' lesson well by reading James. What does James say? In James chapter 1, 22 and 25, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." John Martin again writes, "James, Jesus' half-brother, must have learned the lesson well, for he wrote about obeying the word instead of merely listening to it." He got the message. And that is why the letter A in SOAP, S-O-A-P, is so important. Because our time with God leads us to an application. Now, how does this work? You know, when you're a new believer, what you do is you see the Word of God and you kind of do what I just showed you, right? Somebody needs encouragement, you just go and encourage them. And I think that's a great thing to do. Just simply respond to the Word of God. But there are some things in your life, and you know what they are, that are real strongholds, that just because you go ahead and do this doesn't mean that you're over that problem anymore. And so, Philippians 4:13 says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So as we're spending time in the Word of God, as we go through years and years of spending time in the Word of God, you're depositing God's Word into your life. And it becomes a rich resource from which you can draw in future situations, from which the Holy Spirit can use at any moment's notice. And that's why when you have this in your life, God will give you more. But if you don't have it, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to draw on for you to draw on, and you begin to kind of wither away inside. But we can fortify our spirit. Psalm 1 said, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither, and everything he does prospers. It bears its fruit in season. Everything he does prospers." So we see that God provides this place of nourishment for our soul as we spend time with him. We see how God tells us that we can listen to his word, be careful how we listen in a different way, because we're going to expect to shine it, we're going to expect to receive it, and we're going to expect to practice it. So if I were to give you an instruction and I were to tell you, there's nothing you need to do about this instruction, just listen to it. Compare that to if I were to give you an instruction and I said, okay, in the next, by the end of the day, you need to have carried this out. which way would you have listened better? The first or the second? The second. That's right. Why? Because you're looking to carry it out. You're looking to practice it. So you're going to listen better when you know you have to practice it. I'd like to ask the band to come forward. And there are certain things that the Word of God tells us to do. For example, to be encouraged, to reconcile others. And sometimes we have to not overthink the situation. Just go and spend time with the Lord. Just go and spend time with the Lord. You don't have to change your life all at once. Just go and spend time with the Lord and let the Lord from inside of you begin changing you from the inside out. If you don't do this, then your religion becomes one of external obeying something externally. Well, God said this, my nature doesn't want to do this, but oh, I guess I'll do it. Here's how God wants to work. He wants to sit down with you as if we're having a meal. He wants to talk with you. He wants to talk to you about his heart. He wants to tell you what's his vision, what he's like, what he cares about. And as you go there, as you sit there day after day regularly, his nature, his heart, rubs off on you like osmosis. And you find yourself in your heart, your own heart now, wanting to do the things that he wants to do. And now you're not just obeying an external force or external authority. Rather, you have that very same thing that God has on his heart in your own heart. And so when we listen carefully, we are able to transform our own heart. God gives us that formula to be able to transform our heart. And I pray that it would be something that if we can take away one thing from today, I ask you that you write an application in there. Just go and do one thing so that you can take one more step. What is that next step? Maybe you're already doing quiet times all the time. What is another step that you can take that will help you to move along? Let's go to our God in prayer. Lord, Jesus, you've given us such a challenging statement about be careful how we listen. And the stakes are high. You'll either give us more or you're going to take it away. And Father, I pray that we would be those who would hunger more after you. Indeed, Lord, you do not make big, big demands that we're not able to fulfill. But you draw us to your side to listen to you. And as we listen, Lord, I pray that you would change us from within so that we can truly be transformed into your likeness, into the likeness of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Stan. That was a great reminder. Quiet times and listening to our Lord. Let's all stand. And we're going to sing a song that talks about being in that quiet place in the secret and wanting to be more like him.
I want to know.
Singing, Lord, I want to know you more. Maybe you're like, oh God, that's a hard thing. I don't know how to do that. The very fact that you're able to sing that song or mouth the words, maybe you're lip syncing along the way, is allow your heart to be in sync with that spirit, that attitude. Lord, I want to know you more. And if you did that, I pray God will meet you at your need. He would want to draw you into himself, and you will know him more. Be practicing of the things he said. Lord, thank you, Lord, for being the God who draws us to yourself. Lord, thank you for challenging us with hearing your words carefully, listening carefully, and then practicing it. Father, scriptures that are coming up in the book of Luke speak about the awesome power of Jesus. And that's why we should know you, because you're awesome in power. Thank you, God. Dismiss us now in your grace and your peace. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And together we say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Christ.
Start from verse 2.